I was wondering who was going to walk in the door to do the teaching today after that prayer. My doctors have put me on some new medications that are giving me a dry mouth. Have you ever had that? It's kind of like a desert in there. And sometimes my tongue gets stuck and I can't get the word out. So I ask RB to give me a little table here today so that I can have some water if necessary. I apologize if that happens, but you know what? Get over it. If love of flowers were the only thing that was necessary to become a florist, my wife Elizabeth would have made that her career because she truly loves flowers. She smiles all over when she confronts beautiful flowers wherever she is. And then she married me. She married a man who is blind to flowers, to beautiful flowers. My mother did not grow flowers in the yard. She did not have flowers in the house. I really don't know why. I grew up deprived of beautiful blooms, and they just weren't important to me. I am the great indoors man. I have said that to you many times. So I'm not a gardener either. I never go out and do those things. I never was, and I never will be one of those people. And I think that I've shared this before, but when Elizabeth and I would walk together somewhere, if we weren't holding hands, sometimes I would discover she was not with me because she had stopped along the way to admire some beautiful flowers. I, on the other hand, didn't see them at all. I'm looking ahead for the next thing. We often went to Epcot in Disney, and I would be looking for the next pavilion or attraction, but Elizabeth was over admiring the beautiful landscape and all the gorgeous flowers that were there. And we would stop and she would coo. That's the best way I know to describe it. She'd go, ooh, every time that she saw those flowers, ooh. Now, as part of my loving her, I retrained my brain. And I tried to open my eyes and I tried to see and appreciate flowers along with her. And she talked me into going to Longwood Gardens in Pennsylvania many times. I have to admit, I was very, very impressed with that place. I love that place. We also took a cruise to Alaska, but it started in Seattle. And some people recommended that we go to Pike's Place Market in Seattle. And when we did, the first thing we saw was a sea of gorgeous blooms of flowers and all of these bouquets together and cooing noises from Elizabeth as we walked along. I have to admit, I was impressed, and we bought some of those flowers to take onto the cruise ship with us. On our way to Alaska, we stopped in Victoria, British Columbia, and we made a side trip to the famous Bouchard Gardens. Cooing noises were heard from both Elizabeth and from me. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. My lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come to me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Let me reread that. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Luke 12:27. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. Flowers are splendid reminders of the beauty of God and His creation. And sometimes they do bring a wonderful fragrance to our nostrils. They calm us, they encourage us, they inspire us, and more. Now, even though spring is now giving away to summer, this is still the season to plant some flowers. What kind of flowers shall we plant? Well, I want to suggest we plant some flowers that will change our lives. Let's start here. At the entrance of our housing development in Frederick, our homeowners association plants beautiful flowers. In fact, they have won some awards for their landscaping. And those flowers speak to you when you turn your car into that entrance and they say, "Welcome. Welcome." They are a symbol of hospitality. Many of you plant flowers in the front of your home, and they speak of hospitality. And when people come to your home, those flowers say, "Welcome." Hospitality is not unique to Christians, but as Christians, we need to practice hospitality. Some of us are really, really good at that. Some of us are not. Now, if you are challenged in this area of hospitality, let me put you at ease that it does not mean that you have to have a beautifully set table and platters of perfect food to be hospitable. Because hospitality in the Christian world really means more servanthood. Servanthood. It's about loving other people. It's about making other people know that they are loved by our God. Romans 12:13. Share with God's people. Share with God's people who are in need. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. He put the two together. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels unaware. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Someone said that the Christian religion is the religion of the open hand, the open heart, and the open door. You can change your corner of the world through Christian hospitality. Not just in your family. Not just in your friends. Not just among your fellow church members. But with whomever God brings into your presence, into your path. When is the last time that you planted that kind of flower? When is the last time that you sowed the seeds of love to someone and then watched them blossom? Practice hospitality. Now here's another bouquet of flowers that we need to plant or share. Romans 12:5. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. The flowers you plant or share can do both. I will never forget my first official date. It was not the junior-senior prom. I was younger than that. It was the Valentine's Day dance. And my date's name was Harriet. That's right, Harry and Harriet. In fact, we were sweethearts for 3 years in high school. Everyone thought we would probably get married. This Valentine's Day dance came along, and it was a formal affair. And my mother said, "You need to take her a corsage." I said, "A what?" And she said, "Well, I'll show you." She bought it for me. I took it. I gave it to Harriet, and there were cooing noises. Cooing noises, not just from Harriet, but from her mother. And I learned that night that flowers can enhance the joy of a joyful occasion. On Easter morning of this year, I preached a sermon in which I shared with you something about my grandfather's funeral when I was only 4 or 5 years old. It was a very significant experience for me because through it I began to learn more about death and grief. But what I did not share with you in that story was this. I also learned that flowers can be an expression of mourning with those who mourn. It's hard for me to imagine that there are those who do not have someone to rejoice with them when things are great and mourn with them when things are not great. But it is even harder for me to imagine that possibly there is someone in this room right now who is so isolated that they do not have someone with whom they can mourn or rejoice. Is that possible? Is it their fault that they are so isolated and alone? Well, probably the answer is yes, to a large degree. But is it their fault if Christian fellowship is blind to their need? Is it their fault if you do not send flowers of joy and flowers of mourning to your brothers and sisters? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. I remain reminded of a famous quote. That's another thing these pills do for me, and the dry mouth. The words don't come out like I want them to come out. So forgive me if I say stupid things. At least I have an excuse. I am reminded of a famous quote of Golda Meir. When she was the prime minister of Israel, she experienced many, many mournful moments of conflict and hostility and loss and war. She also experienced the joy of successes in victory. And she said this about joy and sorrow. She said, "Those who do not know how to weep with their whole heart do not know how to laugh either." We need to share the flowers of joy. And we need to share the flowers of mourning and grief with one another. As important as those flowers are, perhaps even more important, are the flowers at weddings. Now let's see. What goes together better than flowers and weddings? Perhaps Harry and Harriet, but nothing else that I can think of. Flowers and love. Love and flowers. Now let's see. Does the Bible have anything to say about love? Duh. Well, you know the answer to that, especially if you were here last Sunday. Love is the most important virtue of all the Christian virtues. There are over 500 references to love in the Word of God. And here is a summary of all 500 of them. Love is from God. Love is God. God loves you. God calls you to love Him. And God calls you to love one another. There it is, the summary of all 500 references to love in the Bible. And to expand that, there are different kinds of love. As you know, there are different words for love. There's sexual love, there's love between friends, there's family love. And many more. If you are married right now, or if you ever were married, you made a love agreement with one another, a covenant with your spouse. God has made a similar love agreement with you, with me, a covenant with you, like wedding vows. His covenant, His promise of love, uses the greatest of all the words for love in the Bible, the word agape. Complete love, unselfish love, totally giving of himself in love. That total expression of his love went something like this. The angel visited Mary. And Mary had a baby in Bethlehem. And as he grew up, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And just a few minutes later, in the upper room, he added this, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That's not just a call to plant some flowers to celebrate love. That's a call to plant a garden of flowers, a field of blooms, so that all men would know that they know that you are his disciple, and that he is their savior. That's the call, to make sure that your family members and your friends and your co-workers and more know that God so loved the world that he gave. God said to plant those kinds of flowers. God said to plant those flowers that are patient, that are kind, that do not envy, that do not boast, that are not proud, that are not rude or self-seeking. He said those kinds of flowers will need a lot of watering, a lot of pruning, a lot of weeding, a lot of care, a lot of protection. But his promise is that they will work all things for good for those who love him, and that they will never fail. We may fail. That's a different story. That's a different sermon. I want you to listen to a poem that was written by a young mother. Pause. She said, "I ran into a stranger as he passed by. 'Oh, excuse me, please,' was my reply. He said, 'Please excuse me too. I wasn't watching for you.' We were very polite, this stranger and I. We went on our way and we said goodbye. But at home, a different story is told. How we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my son stood beside me, very still. And when I turned, I nearly knocked him down. 'Move out of the way,' I said with a frown. He walked away, his little heart broken. I did not realize how harshly I had spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, 'While dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you use, but the family you love, you seem to abuse. Go and look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers that he brought to you. He picked them himself, pink, yellow, and blue. He stood very quietly, not to spoil his surprise. You never saw the tears that filled his eyes.' By this time, I felt very small. And now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by his bed. 'Wake up, little one, wake up,' I said. 'Are these the flowers you picked for me?' He smiled. 'I found them out by the tree. I picked them because they're pretty, like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue.' I said, 'Son, I'm very sorry for the way I acted today. I should not have yelled at you that way. He said, oh, Mom, that's okay. I love you anyway. I said, son, I love you too. And I do like the flowers, especially the blue. God says to you, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. And then he says, now go and do likewise. Love one another anyway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to be kings and queens of hospitality, especially to those in need. I pray that you will help us to be sensitive to being joyful with those who are joyful and mourn with those who mourn. And I pray that you will help us to love one another and to share your love with one another and those not here in this fellowship. Those who need the wonderful gift that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to be like Christ. And help us to love like Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.